If you have questions, you can ask me. I am still available up to half an hour more, if you want. Once you had many questions which I have not answered, I know that. Last time there were so many questions. Yes.
You told us how the students will memorize the Veda.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And the second one, we're going back to the first one. So I would like you to explain us that once more. If I take a sentence in French, in English, today is five. How you will do? I put it today is day. Today is fine, is day two. It is one way.
Let me answer this question very briefly. I had once spoken at one place, perhaps many of you may not be present at that time. But the question was, and I can raise this question now in a fresh manner, how are we sure that what is written now in the Veda, which is printed and available to us, is exactly what was recited many thousand years ago? How are we sure? I told you in the beginning last time, yesterday, that there is one record of history, that is namely Veda, about which we are certain that record is authentic record. That what was thought in the ancient times is accurately stated and is now known to us in the most accurate manner. How are we sure? How are we sure that our forefathers did not change those things and presented to us saying this was what was done in the ancient times? This is the basic question that we should raise. Because like scientists, we want solid evidence. The answer is that a system was organized so that whatever was uttered at that time cannot be changed by anybody afterwards. A system was found in such a way that when you utter, it was so uttered in such a manner that you cannot change it afterwards. Let me give an example. I just now spoke to you of the Vishwamitra's Gayatri. Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. Let us take only one sentence. How are we to be sure that Vishwamitra said exactly these words and over thousands of years there has been no change in it? How can you be sure? This surety comes from the following way. That it was laid down that when you recite this, you should recite it in many different ways. Way is tat. First of all, you only say tat. Then you say tat savitur. Then you say tat savitur varenyam. Then you say tat savitur varenyam bhargo. Tat savitur varenyam bhargo devasya. Tat savitur varenyam bhargo devasya dhimahi. If you repeat several times in this way, then you are quite sure that it can't be changed. If you are required to recite in this way. But they may be doubly sure that you should repeat forward and backward. Tat savitur, savitur tat, tat savitur varenyam, varenyam savitur tat. Go backward. And then you proceed further until the end. It may be a very long way of recitation, But then you can be sure that it should read both backwards and forwards in the same way. Then nobody can change it, nobody can alter it. I have told one of my institutions called Rashtriya Veda Vidya Pratishthan to send us one verse recited in this fashion, in which you go backward and forward. One mantra to be taken, I told them which mantra to take. It is from Yajurveda, one mantra will be taken, and they are going to recite on the tape recorder, and they are going to send it to us here. When it comes, I will present it here, and you will be able to hear it, as to how, even today, there are at least 2,000 people in India who recite the whole of Rig Veda in this manner. The whole of the Rig Veda, they can recite in this fashion. Even today, there are 2,000 people in India. Once I made a survey in India, and I had called those people at one place in Vijayawada, and they all had come, and it was a treat to hear this kind of recitation, not of the whole of Rig Veda, because it will take years. But a number of verses were recited in this way. So I want to give you one taste of it. So I have said that one verse I shall get to be recited before you on a tape recorder. So when it comes, I'll present to you. All right.
He's feeling shy. His question was about the ego.
What was the question?
The question was that is the ego not required for, like, when we are saying our opinion, is it not the ego in a way?
Sri Aurobindo has written, ego is a helper, ego is a bar. There is something like a development of ego. If it was absolutely useless, it would have never been developed. But there is a great use for it. As long as you remain ignorant, as long as you want to remain ignorant, you can't avoid ego. So when we say, or when Sri Aurobindo and the mother say that now we must give up ego, it is addressed to those people who have decided we do not want to remain in ignorance. If you have decided, even in principle, if not fully, but if you have decided now, enough of ignorance, I want to come out of ignorance, I want to enter into knowledge, to them you should say, you stop ego. But those who need it, for them it's a helper. So ego is a helper as long as you want to remain in ignorance. But once you want to go out of ignorance, then you can say, now give up ego. Then it's a bar, it will hinder you. So long as you remain egoistic, you cannot go out of it. All right, you can't enter into knowledge. Fine?
Anybody could Stierbinus read the secret of Veda enough or normal? Only secret of Veda read anybody, that enough or more?
Sri Aurobindo himself has said that that book is incomplete. This, what Sri Aurobindo has written in The Secret of the Veda, is a very brief statement. It is only to begin the establishment of the hypothesis. The Secret of the Veda was supposed to be a commentary upon a number of verses, only by way of illustration. And Sri Aurobindo himself had said that if time permitted, he would like to translate and even explain each and every verse of the Rig Veda. Now, that is not done in the secret of the Veda. Each and every verse of the Veda, Rig Veda, has not been commented upon. That is a work for us. If we are interested in carrying out that work, it's a very big work to be carried out. One of the activities in which I am engaged today is to create interest among the people to read the Rig Veda, those who are capable of doing it, to read Sri Aurobindo's secret of the Veda, and then work upon a bigger plan in which, following Sri Aurobindo's line, they can translate and explain each and every verse of the Rig Veda. Somebody has to do it. So, but if you really want to understand simply the basics of the Rig Veda, and if you want to be convinced of the line that Sri Aurobindo has taken, then that is enough. It's complete. All right.